1 John 4, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, or speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we've been studying for the last few weeks on biblical judging, and this morning we want to turn our attention to this passage of Scripture, and we've entitled the subject matter, Judge What You Hear. Judge What You Hear. Now, God has blessed us with the ability and the responsibility as believers to judge. God has given us His Word, He has given us His Spirit, and He has given us a new nature to judge with. And we've looked at those things in rather detail the last few weeks. And we have seen that judging is necessary for the child of God. It is a necessary practice for the child of God to make good, sound, biblical judgments. And we need to know this truth and we need to handle it, because the world would have us believe that we're never to judge anybody about anything. And we are, of course, they make judgment when they say that, but they do not want us to judge them about anything, nor do they want us to judge anyone about anything. But it is necessary for your spiritual health and your spiritual growth and your spiritual stability as a child of God to make good judgments, to make good discernment. To weigh out things as they are placed before you in life, and to do that with those three things that God has equipped you with to be able to do that in a responsible way. And last week we saw that biblical judging requires the priority of self-judgment. So not only is it necessary for us to judge, but we also must take a priority in this fact of judging ourselves first. We are going to be hindered and hampered in our judging if we do not judge ourselves first. The Bible tells us and teaches us very clearly that if we have a beam in our eye, that we're not going to be able to help others. And so one of the purpose in judging that God has equipped us with judging is so that we can be a help. You know, if not, we'll be self-righteous. We will climb up into the seat of judgment, and by doing that, we will look down on others without consideration of ourselves. And that makes for a bunch of self-righteous people, which we don't want to be. And so we must understand and take this priority to heart that we must self-judge. We must learn to judge ourselves, to judge our motives, to judge our actions, and if we're going to be able to be a good help to others. And here in this text, we find that the ability to judge is reinforced. If you'll notice, he uses the word try here in verse 2. At verse 1 it says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. To try something means to put it to a test. In other words, to discern whether it's good or not. So the idea is still with judging. So we are to judge, or to try, as the text says, what we hear. Of course, in context, it's talking, it says, believe not every spirit. So that is, if you're going to believe them, that means you're going to hear them, you're going to hear what they have to say, and you're going to go along with that. And the Bible says, don't do that. Don't believe every spirit that comes your way. Don't believe everything that you're told. And then we know in context, it's talking about what is being said to a person, because it says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There is, behind all false teaching, false spirits. The spirits of Antichrist it mentions here, or demonic forces, if you will, they're at work. And so we have this command in our judge, and we have the ability to do it. You'll also notice in the text that it reinforces what we said earlier about the three things that are necessary for us as the people of God to be able to make good judgment. First of all, there is the Spirit of God. And it says in verse 4, if you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. So we've already overcome the world, but I want to just point out here the reason that we do, and the reason that we have the ability to say that this is right and this is wrong, is first of all because we have the Spirit of God living in us. And so in regeneration, when God gives us new life, He also takes up residence in our heart, in our life. We just sang a song, "Since Jesus came into my heart." And that's an expression of the idea that God Himself, in the person of the Son and the power of the Spirit of God, lives within us. He reigns in our heart and in our life. And so we have the Spirit of God. He's mentioned different ways, but just notice it says, "Greater is He that is in you." And the Bible says here in the text also in verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." So greater is He that's in us, and God lives in us. God lives in the believer. And this distinguishes the believer from every other person in the world. You have the privilege of having God Himself making residence in your soul. And so God lives in us, the Spirit of God. Then there's the Word of God. In verse 4, it expresses it this way when we talk about the Word of God. Again, it says, "And you are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they the word of the world, and the world heareth them." It's actually verse 6. "We are of God. He that knoweth God," notice this, "heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So the second thing is the Word of God. And you say, well, what does that have to do with the Word of God? Well, the apostolic doctrine is the Word of God. And I believe the idea of the expression there, "he that heareth us," is speaking about John's writing this letter. He's writing as an apostle. And, of course, without going through a long dissertation on this truth, if you compare this with the book of John, where the Bible says that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll lead you into all truth. What he's saying is, and he's talking to the apostles, is that through the apostles we will be led into all truth. That's why you have a New Testament. You have the writings of the apostles. And that's why it says in the book of Acts chapter 2 that they continued steadfastly. And one of those things was in the apostles' doctrine. And so if we hear what the apostles have to say, if we hear what those that were sent by Christ have to say, then we're of God. And that's how we judge, it says here in the text, how we can discern or know, "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." How do you know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error? You know that because you hear what they have to say, that is, the apostles have to say. So that's the Word of God. "He that knoweth God heareth us." If you will not hear what the apostles have to say, in other words, if you do not hear what John has to say, if you do not hear what Peter has to say, if you do not hear what Paul has to say about the matter, in other words, if you say, well, that's just the word of man, then you're on shaky ground. You must hear them as it is in truth, the Word of God. And then thirdly, we have a new nature. For it says in 5:1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." So again, this reads the truth about biblical judging. We have the responsibility to discern, to judge, to try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. And we can only do that if we have the Spirit of God. Secondly, if we have a new nature, we have been born again. And thirdly, that we have the Word of God itself. Those three things. And so here we're commanded to judge what we hear. We have a twofold command in the text, and the idea is don't believe everything you hear and put what you hear to a test. For he says in verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Don't believe them, but try them. Try them. Put them to the test. Judge them. So the battle for what you hear, beloved, is deeper than just mere words. There are spirits behind the words that you are challenged every day of your life to believe. We talk about the spirits that are behind false prophets and thereby behind false teaching. We're not talking about just coming into a church. A lot of people take passages like this and say, well, that's just talking about religious things in a religious setting where you go to a church and you sit down, or you turn on the radio or the television or the internet and you're hearing some preacher say certain things. But it's far deeper than that, as we want to see in this study. We are to judge what we're hearing, because there are spirits behind the words that you're challenged to believe every day when you're faced with believing. Well, am I going to believe this or this? This comes to me, and we could take this on the road of evolution. You could take that way, and some professor saying that this is the way it is, or some school teacher saying this is the way it is, when the Bible says something different. So you're going to be confronted with the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So there is a battle. There's a battle for what you hear, and it's deeper than mere words, because there are many false prophets in the world. Some are religious and some are secular, but they have much to say, and we have thereby much to discern. And one mark of falsehood is how men handle Jesus Christ. It says in verse 2, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." Here's the way. Hereby, this is the way for you to know whether it's the Spirit of God at work or if it's the Spirit of Antichrist at work. And that is how they handle the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they teach? What do they say about the Lord Jesus Christ? And then he puts that in contrast, not only that, but he says, the world heareth them. What they say about Jesus Christ, the world will hear that. But what we say about Jesus Christ, well, the world won't hear that. And so that's apostolic doctrine. The doctrine of the apostles in the New Testament, under New Covenant theology, we find, and I use that in the biblical term, here you find a New Covenant, and it lays out for us who Jesus Christ is in greater detail than the Old Testament ever thought about laying it out. The Old Testament is a shadow of that. We got little glimpses here and there. But in the New Testament, we have the revelation of Jesus Christ and what He is to us as believers. The world won't hear that. And so, Christ is mocked. So, when you think about that, this is one way to judge this. So, we must judge what we hear by Scripture. It is through the Scripture or apostolic doctrine that we can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And I can't overemphasize this, that's found in verse 6. It says, "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So how a man handles Jesus Christ, and not only that, but here's the discerning thing. When you take the Word of God, you can know what is error and what is truth. Which means you have to have the Word of God. And so with that this morning, there are three things. I don't know how far along in the lesson we'll get this morning, but it is important for us to see these three things in relationship to what you call. There is the admonition, and that is to judge, simply to judge what you hear. Don't believe everything that you're told. Don't believe everything that someone says to you, but you are to try whether what is being said is of God or not of God. Every doctrine, every teaching, every feeling, every movement, every experience is not from God. So you're challenged as believers to put to the test the things that come into the portals of your ears. Jesus and His person and His work in the New Testament, apostolic doctrine, is your litmus test. It is to be tried by Jesus Christ and is to be tried by His Word, as we already saw there. And then we are admonished not to believe everything we hear. But there is the explicit command to believe not It says there, beloved, believe not. Just because it's said doesn't mean it's to be believed. Just because it's said doesn't mean it's to be trusted in. Believe not. You know who believe everything they hear? The gullible, the simple. Proverbs 14:15. We're to be Bereans. We're to take the Word of God and see where the things that are being said to us are so. And that's not just what the preacher says. That's what Fox News says or CNN says. That's what a magazine says or your neighbor says. You're to take everything and judge it and weigh it out and filter it through the Word of God. And so it's in Proverbs 14 and verse 15. Proverbs 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. You'll notice the contrast here is that the simple person or the gullible, this one who's simple, he just takes everything and just, you know, it just takes it at face value. But you must dig a little deeper. And, you know, we talked about motive last week, our own motive in things. And so whenever we're discussing things with others, we even look at their motive and thinking, where do things lead? You know, what does this teaching lead to? We weigh all those things out. The simple will just believe everything. Oh, well, let's see. And they'll sit there mesmerized that everything that's told them is so. But the prudent man, well, he'll judge out things. He'll consider them, weigh them out, because he wants to walk a certain way. And so our text teaches us that we must not believe every word. We must learn to judge what we hear by Scripture. The Scripture is the standard, and anything else is substandard. So you are to judge the news, you're to judge media, you're to judge in your education, and you're to judge in your conversations and preaching by the things of the Scripture. You should judge all advice and counsel and opinion by the Scripture. Now, people will give you advice all day long. And the Bible says in the multitude of counselors there is safety. But those counselors are biblical counselors. Those are men who take the Word of God and women who take the Word of God, as Abigail did, you know, whenever she gave counsel to David and saved him from shaming his name. And you know what she did? She used the Word of God. She said, basically what she said was, is the prophet has already anointed you as king. We know what he said. In other words, she took the Word of God. And so whenever you're seeking counsel, a lot of people seek counsel because they want to do things their own way. And so what they'll do is they'll find people who agree with them. And then they'll say, well, so-and-so said I could do this. And so-and-so, well, this, they're the ones that told me to do this when that's what they were intended to do all along. And so it was bad counsel. They sought bad counsel because they were following the counsel of their own heart anyway. So what do? You go to the Word of God. And so you have an admonition. Admonition, and that is to judge what you hear. And I believe that the Bible teaches very clearly that we're to judge it by His Word. Every teaching must be measured and weighed out, tried, put to the test, judged, discerned, whatever word you want to use, by the Word of God. In the book of 1 Timothy, the Bible warns us about science, falsely so-called. He doesn't warn us about true science, because true science is Bible science. The word science just is a form of the word knowledge. It comes from the word knowledge. It's what we know. And so true science is provable. You know, you take an experiment. Kids are in school and they take experiments. At home, they could see the reaction between, for instance, vinegar and baking soda. This is a simple one. If you take vinegar and I put baking soda in that vinegar, you know what's going to happen? It's going to foam up and foam over. If this were vinegar this morning, and I took a tablespoon of baking soda and put in there, every time I did it, it would just fuzz up and bubble up. Every time. It's measurable. It's something that can be known. That's science. That's the way science works. It's something that can be observed and something that can be measured. And so we know that there's a lot of falsehood in science. That's why it's called in the Scripture science, falsely so called, because it's not real science. Evolution science is not real science. It's the figment of some man's imagination trying to get out of his sin nature and trying to get out of the fact that he has to deal with God. He has a conscience that he doesn't like, that he wishes he could get rid of. And so he's trying to get rid of that conscience. And one way he tries to get rid of it is, well, if I'm an animal and then the Bible's not true and there is no God, well, maybe I can free myself from my conscience. Which he never is able to accomplish, nevertheless. But in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 6:20, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20, it says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Every science that man has, or I should say that man distorts, should be judged, and the way we know it's distorted is through the Scripture. The Bible teaches us about anthropology. It teaches us about psychology and sociology and astronomy. The Bible teaches us about all those areas. You know, anthropology is simply the study of man. And if there's any book on the shelf that'll teach you about man, it's the Bible. It'll teach you where man came from. It'll teach you how he got the mess that he's in. It teaches us all the course of man and how he has a downward path. It teaches how to remedy for the condition that he's in. So if you want to know about anthropology, you don't have to go dig up dirt somewhere to find about anthropology. You dig through the Bible and you'll find about man. And so there is science, falsely so-called, that deals with anthropology. And that anthropology might try to prove that man comes from a monkey. But it doesn't happen that way. They can prove that. But what you can do with the Bible is you can take and show you what man is with the Bible. I guarantee you that. You can find that. So anthropology, psychology. Psychology is the study of the mind. It's the science of the study of the mind. And the Bible is the best book on the mind. You know why it's the best book on the mind? Because God created your mind, and even though it's a fallen mind, He created your mind. He created you the ability to think and to reason. And then He gives you a book that tells you about reason, how to reason. He says, matter of fact, in the book He says, come, let us reason together. He talks about the mind often. Matter of fact, the book of Philippians, the greater part of that book is how to have the right kind of mind. And so we study those things with the Word of God. What I'm saying is very simply that we must judge what we hear. So when we come into the sciences, what we're taught in the sciences, the way that we know what's true about the sciences, whether it's true science or false science, is through the study of God's Word. The anthropology, psychology, sociology, which is how men relate to each other. That's what sociology is. It's the study of how people are social, how they interact with one another. And you want to find about that? Well, you go to the Bible. You can see why somebody would gossip on you. You find it in the Bible. You find why this person kills this. You can find why there's race problems. They're all in the Bible. It lays it all out in the Bible. So sociology, the truth about man and his interaction with one another, is found in the Bible. You weigh it out. You measure it by the Bible. And even astronomy. And you get into all kinds of things when you talk about astronomy. You get a flat earth, a round earth. You get whether the earth spins or whether it stands still. And say, well, Brother Shepherd, we know all those things. You don't know it unless the Bible teaches it to you. There's truth about that. And that's all found in the Bible. It's all measured out with the Bible. You know, we must measure this teachings by the Bible. In the book of Romans, let's go back to psychology for a moment. In the book of Romans, the Lord wants us to think right. The devil wants us to think wrong. Your old nature wants you to think wrong. The world wants you to think wrong. Now think about this. They want you to think wrong. The devil wants it, the world wants it, and your old nature wants it. They want you to think wrong. You know, the old nature will say, you're not going to get in trouble. After all, here's what the old nature will say. Well, you're redeemed. You know, it'll listen, the old nature will talk some truth sometime. It'll say, you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Remember, didn't the preacher say, you're redeemed, you're saved by grace? And the old nature will say, because you're saved by grace, nothing ever bad will happen to you. Well, that's wrong. See, that's got to be filtered through the Bible. Because bad things happen to God's people. It's actually something good for them. It's called chastisement, but it feels bad when it happens. And what I say is this, is that we are to think right. We're to think by the Bible. We're to judge every doctrine, everything that comes our way by the Bible. And in the book of Romans, chapter 12, the Bible teaches us some ways to think. I've been showing you some psychology of the Bible. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How do you do it? How are you transformed? How are you more like the Lord and less like the world? By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove, there's that word again. Sometime it's try, sometime it's prove, sometime it's judge, sometime it's test. That ye may prove, that you might find out, that you might put it to the test, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The aim of the believer is God, what is your will? What is your perfect will? How would you have me to live my life for you? You gave your life for me. How can I live my life for you? And so we do that by the renewing of our mind, which means we get in the Word of God and we begin to know what God has to say. You see, when you get in the Word of God, you begin to know what God says on every matter. And so when the devil comes along to fool you, say, hey, you know what? That's not what God said. Oh, yeah. Well, he meant it this way. Well, that's not what he said. This is what he meant. He meant what he said. He said what he meant. And that's what Jesus did. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days? He used a vital weapon that you have in your disposal to thwart the attacks of Satan. And what he used was the Word of God. So we are to renew our mind with the Word of God that we may prove, find out, test, judge, to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the reason we must do this, I must leave off. And that's the second thing. I'll just say this is because of the warning of deception in our text. Many false prophets are in the world. They're going out into the world. Not just a few, but many. As a matter of fact, there is more falsehood than there is truth in the world. That means there are different people And there's different shades this way and that way. And you're going to be confronted with deception on every hand. Constantly. You young people you're in for it. I'm just telling you right now, you're in for being barraged with this overwhelming deception, mass deception. And matter of fact, beloved, there are even more now than there were in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you to do? What's the believer to do? Well, he's to take the Word of God by the power of the Spirit of God in accordance with his new nature. And he is to judge what he hears. Even this message this morning that you heard, you're to weigh it out. You're to search the Scripture to see whether those things are so. You're to weigh it out that you might find where you need to be with your God. I pray this will be a good study for us and that it will encourage you to get to the book and stay in the book. We'll be dismissed until 11 o'clock.